you two know what today is?
Passover.
It is not Passover. Beth, do you care to wager a bet? It has nothing to do with hockey. It has to do with the podcast.
Is it our anniversary?
It very well could be. It is our 50th show.
Wow.
Who thought we would have made it this far? Not my mother. Not my wife.
I don't think anybody knows what a podcast is, so.
Not my Michael. Anywho, this is Bantering the Blue Shirts. My name is Joe Fortunato. I'm joined by Michael Murphy and Bethany Macklin.
Bethany.
And this is what we do. We podcast. That's her name, Bethany. And if it isn't, it is now. This is the 50th podcast. 50. They said we'd never make it, but here we are. This show is brought to you by our Patreon subscribers. Go be a Patreon subscriber. Seriously. Go onto your computer right now, literally right now. If you happen to be driving and you're listening to this, just pull over or something. I don't know. Patreon.com/blueshirtbanter and donate to us. And when you do, good things happen.
If you can afford it, or
Mike purchasing a delicious microphone, or Beth getting bailed out of jail for licking a ranger. John J. Porter, Anthony Viola, Guy from Montana, Daniel DeGen, Eric Cohn, Matt Bader, George Littman, Dan Lynch, Victoria Embry, John Reppy, Arch Williams, Igor Zetlovsky, Zachary Zetlin, Dan Carosi, Alexander Thornton, Thomas Osa, Trevor Kempner, and Michael Silvers. They did this already. You should do this. That's what you should do. So
if you can afford it.
You keep saying that. Just go take a second mortgage out on your house and donate all the money to Patreon.
That's ill-advised.
I don't think it is. I think Mike is lying to you. I don't think Mike cares about you. And it's just do it, okay? Don't go on that vacation you're planning. You don't want to. You want to give money to Patreon, to us specifically. So, yeah, do that. It is our 50th show. And holy crap, Dan Girardi got bought out. Last show.
Holy crap, Dan Girardi got bought out. Holy crap, you announced you're having a child.
That's true. I am having a little girl. And that is terrifying.
So maybe do subscribe to our Patreon.
Yeah, exactly. The baby needs food. Are you going to take food out of my baby's mouth? Are you kidding me? What type of person are you? I'm not a farmer. I can't grow food for her. You need to do the legwork here. She is your responsibility. Understand me? So go to Patreon and donate for my child. You sons
no
of
pressure.
Bitches. All the pressure.
No pressure at all.
There couldn't be any more pressure.
You're not a good person, Joe, but I love you.
You're right. I'm a great person. Maybe the greatest. Anywho. On the show last week, Beth said, state of terror, what is the percent chance both Girardi and Stahl will be back next year? And I said 0%, and then I amended that to 20%. I don't remember what Mike said, because I usually don't listen when he's speaking, and Beth never makes predictions under any circumstances. Oh, that's right, you did say 21, you son of a bitch. So, but it happened.
Yeah, my price was righted, yeah.
I think we've taken a bit of a humorous stance on this right now, but I would like to say that there is a 1% chance Dan Girardi listens to this podcast. And in the event that he is, thank you for your service. Seriously. I wrote an article about him. Adam wrote an article about him. And both of them had this, almost regretful tone to them because Girardi's career did not have to end this way. Maybe it did need to end this way, but it didn't need to end this way in New York. And the famous Batman, you either die the hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain quote, really applies here, because there was a time when Dan Girardi was a cult hero and should have been in New York. And I think I said in my article that Dan Girardi was a victim of other people's mistakes, but he's still the face of those mistakes. And this was a move that needed to be made. But I really do believe that he was one of the main foundational building blocks of this organization. And he was one of the beacons of light when we were all very, 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 very miserable during the dark years when the Rangers weren't making the playoffs 7 years in a row. And he was that first bunch of homegrown kids with Ryan Callahan and Brandon Dubinsky. And
undrafted.
Just a warrior, seriously gave every ounce of himself. I have never seen a player give more to a hockey team than Dan Girardi gave to the New York Rangers. And I mean that. That's not a cliche. That's not, oh, we were mean to him, let's make him feel better. That is 100%. I have never seen a person give more to a hockey team than Dan Girardi. Honestly. So thank you. And again, these are awkward conversations to have because you also have to thank Jeff Gordon. He did the right thing. This had to happen. There's no way that this could not happen, but it's unfortunate that it had to, if that makes sense. And I've spoken entirely too long. Mike, you should speak.
We try to go out of our way to make sure that we make the distinction between a player and their contract. And I think Girardi is a really strong example of that, especially now that he's bought out. You know, in a perfect world, or a better world, I should say, you know, he would be the third pair defenseman on the right side for the Rangers at a much less significant cap hit, because it's hard to think of a player. I don't know how Girardi found pants that fit him with the size of his balls. He's one of those guys who you watch him play and he's not exceptional with the puck, but like Joe said, he's just, there's nothing he won't do to help a hockey team win. And it's for that reason I really hope his career isn't over. You know, we obviously don't know what comes next for him, but you know, he's officially a, you know, unrestricted free agent. He can go anywhere. It's a strange thing to see him go, especially because, you know, he's been, there was a lot of talk about, you know, from the media and the beat writers about whether or not changes are coming to the team's core. I think someone asked Step on that specifically, ironically enough, but and we're starting to see the hammer fall a little bit here with Girardi, and obviously we have yet to get into it, but the Step on trade, the trade talk. So it's a necessary thing, but that doesn't mean it feels good. You know, it feels good in a sense of it's the thing the team has to do to become a better hockey team. But the Rangers are definitely losing something special in terms of who Dan Girardi is off the ice and what he was willing to do on it. So it's in many ways, it's a big hole to fill like for the heart of the team. And I think we got that sense from, you know, the public message that Hank posted after the news and everything like that. He's a warrior, and losing a guy like that does matter, even with, you know, the shortcomings of his game and all that. So now that was my turn to ramble. Beth, say things. I talked about balls.
No, I mean, you know, he had a decent playoff. He had some good games. He had that gorgeous hit on Andrew Shaw. You know, he had, I'm glad, you know, if, I don't know, glad. Anyway, I'm glad he went out after this playoff, I guess, as, you know, if this had to be the way it happened, I'm glad it wasn't after the one round versus the Penguins last year, which was just such a disaster. And I'm glad he got some final wins in, and I'm glad they got to the second round. And I think you'd have to be a real crab person to wish any ill whatsoever on this guy. I remember when I interviewed Lundqvist saying something about how, we fans thought that, you know, Dan Girardi grew extra body parts whenever he got injured, you know, so you'd think he couldn't possibly be coming back on the ice, and then there he'd be. And, you know, Henrik doesn't know who I am and looked at me funny, and so that's really my one memory of talking to Hank about Dan Girardi. But he did, again, appreciate what he put out there, and I think Lundqvist message sort of gave us all leeway to be like, okay, you know, we can grieve this now. He was here for a long time. He was a great guy. He was a
Is she cutting in and out for you, Mike?
Yeah, she is.
She's totally gone.
Am I? I'm sorry. I'm not moving.
Well, not you're like disappearing better? and then coming back.
I blame the wine.
Is it better now?
It's not like you're crackling. It's like you're stopping talking.
Oh, that's strange.
But now I can hear you, for what it's worth.
Yeah, we can hear you fine now.
All right.
Now that you've unequivocally ruined the show.
And no doubt. And
I almost feel like that one was a joke.
Things that people only half heard, so.
I don't think it is.
Not one bit. And you're very snippy tonight, Mr. Fortunato. So, you know, be nice.
I just got screwed. Oh. Why couldn't that part have
you
cut
just...
out? That
Maybe
part
he has
cut
to
out
get all the
got...
baby staff before he has the baby
Put
girl.
In your place.
Maybe
would have even
like,
heard it.
Yeah, you. You've got to soften up. To...
Seriously.
Getting all my hardness
very
out
shortly.
Now.
Very, very shortly, your life is going to be filled with buying those little electrical, like electric socket covers and baby-proofing your house. You gotta be a sweetheart, Joe.
A sweetheart.
It is. It's funny though the mixed emotions with Girardi.
If you were making a point towards the end, because you cut off completely.
I
was
going
to have you
mean,
repeat it.
All I'm saying is that it's completely valid to feel two ways about this. I don't think those two ways contradict each other.
Absolutely.
I agree.
Yeah.
These conversations should be somewhat uncomfortable because he did a lot while he was here. But it should have never gotten to this point. And the fact that it did is not his fault. The fact that he did is really Vigneault's fault. And I guess Sather's fault for giving him the contract in the first place. So... yeah, that's, I mean, business aside, well, actually, that personal aside, business at the forefront, the New York Rangers have quite a bit of leeway here. There is some talk that Kevin Klein will be retiring due to, what are we thinking, some back thing, Mike, you said?
Well, yeah, he was limited this year because of lower back problems, and I think we saw that on the ice, and... it's one of the reasons why, you know, he played, you know, not an entire season. But
among other reasons.
You know, he's not going to Europe, you know, to play hockey if his back is that bad. What's curious to me is, you know, it's not quite as extreme, but I was talking to my brother about it today, and he, like, kind of like a Naslund retiring prematurely and doing the Rangers a huge favor. I don't know if you remember that, but Naslund retiring, you know, made life a lot easier for the Rangers. But Klein is due. Yeah, Marcus Naslund.
Okay.
But Klein is due. His cap hit is $2.9 million, but he's due $2.75 in NHL salary next year. I don't know what he can make overseas, but you know, it's kind of a head scratcher why he would be leaning towards retirement. Nothing is final, we should stress, in regards to what's happening here. But if Klein does take that option, we've heard from James Myrtle in The Athletic that the salary cap is expected to go up to $75 million next year, which is an increase of $2 million. So every team will have a little more cap space. The Rangers obviously just bought out Girardi. If Klein goes as well, that's another $2.9 million in cap space open. So a lot of space is being, especially potentially in regards to Klein, but a lot of space is opening up, and it only gets taken to another level with the waves that Bob McKenzie made with his tweet about Stepan being involved in trade chatter. So it's really possible we could see some major news with Rangers in the next couple of days.
It is it's worth noting that there was some speculation the cap could go up as high as $77 million. And what Mike said, you're talking about the money that you save from Kevin Klein, plus the money that you're saving from Dan Girardi, plus potentially getting rid of Nick Holden, all these different moves that could happen. The Rangers may very well have the cap space to do something substantial. And just based off some of the things we've seen to this point, we are kind of talking about Shattenkirk-level money right now. So is that a direction the Rangers are going to go in? We're going to have to get to, and I guess we may as well get into it, the Derek Stepan stuff right now, because this is going to be a talking point. Bob McKenzie had tweeted out that Derek Stepan's name, I believe the comment was prominent on the trade market, and he went out of his way to also claim that it doesn't necessarily mean that something is going to happen, but Stepan's name has been thrown around for a couple of years. One of the main reasons why it's coming up quite a bit right now is because Stepan gets his his no trade clause kicks in July 1st. So if the New York Rangers want to make a move for him, they can obviously do that now, and they can't do that next week. So the opportunity to kind of take those next steps, I'm going to say, it's going to depend on what the Rangers are going to do within the next couple of days and before the expansion draft. And here's why. The New York Rangers have a free protection slot right now on defense. Because they bought out Girardi, there is no need to protect him because he doesn't have no movement clause anymore. Dave from Blue Seat Blogs brought up a good point. The Rangers could wait and not fill out the paperwork until after the expansion draft, and then they could use that protection slot on Girardi. But I don't see a reason why the Rangers would protect a guy like Holden, who they very well might want another team to take. If the Rangers trade Stepan for a defenseman, they can use that protection slot that they have available because of Girardi on that defenseman. If the Rangers re-sign Brendan Smith, they can use that protection slot on Brendan Smith. If the Rangers trade Stepan for a forward, they can use the slot open now at forward on that new forward that they get. I understand that this is confusing. I apologize. I'm not good at explaining things. One of the more complicated things that they could do is trade Stepan for a defenseman, use the defensive slot that they have open from the Girardi buyout to protect said defenseman, say Trouba from Winnipeg, and I'm just throwing a name out there. I have no insight on that whatsoever. And then use the opened protection slot at forward on a guy like Oscar Lindberg or Jesper Foss. And that is something that could potentially happen. But whatever is going to happen has to happen within the next couple of days, because the New York Rangers are sort of in limbo here. I think the timing of the Girardi buyout was interesting, if nothing else was going to happen, because the opportunity to buy somebody out, that window has opened, but the deadline lasts for a bit of time. The Rangers could have waited towards the end. I think they may have a deal lined up, or at least feel like they're close enough to having a deal lined up, but I don't know. I'm not in the room, guys. I'm here in my basement podcasting with my best friend Beth and my best friend Mike singing on the mic.
Well, the Rangers have to submit the list of their protected players by June 17th at 5 p.m. The public will learn what those lists are the next day, or really the next morning, I think, June 18th. I think it's 10 in the morning. And then, you know, that's Vegas also has that goofy 72-hour period where they can talk to, you know, unprotected, restricted free agents, you know, guys like, because the Rangers didn't qualify, Clendenning or Peary, they can talk to guys like that. And,
or Brendan Smith.
As well as the UFAs. Yeah, oh, well, he wasn't, yeah, but he's an unrestricted free agent. He wasn't a RFA. And then on the 21st of June, Vegas makes its selections. So, and on that same day, we learn who the hell is on the Golden Knights. And 2 days after that is the entry draft. So this is it's a very crazy amount of things that are going to happen in the next 7 days. You know, today was the, you know, official buyout for Girardi. It was announced obviously yesterday, but you know, the 15th today was when the buyout can happen. So it's, and obviously today we saw already one big blockbuster with the Drouin trade, and Stepan's name isn't the only one out there. Galchenyuk's on the market and Eberle's on the market. And apparently Hampus Lindholm is someone that teams are calling about, and I'd be shocked if the Rangers weren't one of them. So yeah, there's a whole ton of crap going on. I'm curious how much you guys think the Rangers are going to do. I'm starting to get the impression that a lot of things are going to change simply because of the cup window. And, you know, it's, I'm sure it's a question of maybe it's too little too late, but, you know, there's going to be a lot of teams trying to sign a guy like Shattenkirk and plenty of teams interested in someone like Brendan Smith, but the Rangers really have a lot of wiggle room now. They have a lot of pieces they can move, and including pieces they can afford to move. And we could see a dramatically different roster next season.
Yeah. The Rangers have
Wait, can
re-opened.
I ask a question, guys?
You can.
Yes, ask a question.
Oh, I forgot what it was. Wait, is the only Klein still not definitely gone, but 9%, 95% certain, right? 97% certain that Klein is gone.
Well, yeah, the Post broke that, and
mulling
it's right
retirement.
Now it's, yeah, he's mulling it over. But he'll be like, he's almost certainly will be a player exposed to Vegas. That doesn't mean Vegas takes him. Yeah. I'm also not convinced. I know Joe said it before, but I think the Rangers organization really likes Nick Holden. I don't think that the Rangers social media and writers particularly like him. But if you just look at really in terms of counting stats and everything, he overachieved. He had a brutal playoffs, but
he scored goals.
Yeah, but those things, he scores goals, but he shouldn't be scoring goals. You know, it's kind of like Klein a few years ago. It happened. But
yeah.
Every once in a while he'll do. Remember he made that one breakaway goal where he did the. I think it might have been the playoffs. It was just a, like, where the hell did that come from? Move. It's like, what the hell is that? Who is Nick Holden? I've still been trying to figure it out.
I think it's been
9 months.
What is Nick Holden?
Yeah, what is a Nick Holden?
Ooh, we lost Beth again.
Blue hate Nash for Oops, because they
in.
Say he doesn't score enough. I'll bet you anything.
Wait, Beth,
so
you have to say all
God
this over again.
I said the people.
It cuts out at critical moments, but when she swears or yells at me, it works perfectly.
Yeah,
like it almost it resonates her voice to the heavens.
Oh, Beth, did you hear that McElrath won the Calder Cup with the Detroit Red Wings AHL team? He's
I'm
a
very
champion,
proud of
Beth.
Lost son. I always knew he could be, Mike.
Her large adult son.
I always
son.
Knew he could be. A mother's love. My
a
large
mother's
love,
love guided. Oh.
All right. Well, what I was saying, though, way back when was that the same people who think Holden is great because he scores goals are the same people who think Rick Nash sucks because he doesn't score enough of them when they want him to. So it wasn't a particularly profound thought.
put
about emphasis in
no.
the wrong places.
That is
Listen,
important, though. It's
where I the point that I wanted to make that I forgot and then was going to make. The Rangers have reinvested in their cup window. They've pried the window open with this move because say you get Shattenkirk, you re-sign Smith, all of a sudden you have probably one of the best. You go from having arguably the worst, not one of the worst, arguably the THE worst defenses in the league to arguably one of the best top fours in the league. Maybe not the best top to bottom, because Stahl is going to be in that bottom pairing and it's going to be a disaster. But if he actually plays there, it may work out if he's sheltered. But you're getting Smith, Shea, McDonough, Shattenkirk in your top four. You'd be hard-pressed to find a better group than that across the league. So do the Rangers have enough to really step in and make these adjustments? And the next thing you know, they're a cup contender again. And I think the answer to that question is yes. Now, I feel a hell of a lot better about Jeff Gordon's motives right now than I did, say, before this buyout happened. Because it means that while it was
absolutely.
A difficult decision to make, Gordon did the right thing. Period. End of story. There's really no, as hard as it was, he did the right thing. And this was his opportunity to put a stamp on this hockey team, and he did just that. So you tip your cap to him. He did the right thing. Now he needs to finish the job. And some of it might be out of his control. I think Shattenkirk could price himself out of New York. I do believe that. But I think
would
that
we end
having
up signing Shattenkirk to the same sort of contract, though? I mean, what is with these 8-year contracts for hockey players? I realize that's a back to kind of dumb question, but I mean, would we get stuck in the same pit again? Or is that just, are 8 years what players like that want? I don't.
Theoretically, yes. If you have to go long term on Shattenkirk to take the money down, yes. The difference is players like Shattenkirk, players like Keith Yandel age much better than players like Dan Girardi for the most part. That does not mean that that would necessarily be the case here. But
they can skate.
Well, yes. Physical,
right. They can
less
skate.
Physical.
Right. They're not
rare
relying on their like grind and wind and all that nonsense. Dan Girardi broke down. And the game is moving away from those types of defensemen, period. There's really no argument there. People make that argument, but there's really no argument there. The flip side of this is players like Yandel, and I think Mark Streit is a good example because he was a player who was much older throughout his career and was still useful as a hockey player. And I think that's more or less where you expect these guys to fall, because he might not be an amazing defenseman, but even at the end of his career with the Flyers, he was still putting up 40 points a year. The last 2 years were kind of disastrous, but his very last year in the NHL, he played 49 games and he had 21 points. I mean, you're paying for the offense. So is that what this is going to turn into? Maybe. I don't know. But you take the risk on them being effective tomorrow, next year, the year after, and you worry about, I guess, year 6 or 7 or 8 on the contract in year 6 and 7 and 8. And who knows? But those players tend to keep their value more than a guy like Dan Girardi does. And even Mark Stahl, I think Mark Stahl, who knows what would have happened to him if he didn't take that eye injury? Honestly, who knows? There was a point where he was easily the best defenseman in terms of potential the Rangers had. Granted, that was before Ryan McDonough, but still. I mean, the Rangers could have used Mark Stahl to get almost anybody that they wanted. There was a period of time where that was possible. And, yeah. That's that. So, we danced around the Stepan subject, but I'm dragging us back into the pool. Do we think Stepan is going to get traded? Mike, I'm putting you on the spot. You are on the spot.
Well,
you're on the spot.
That's a tough question.
It is very hard.
You and I have talked about this. Stop with your horrible singing. I'm trying to answer your question. Ugh, you're the worst. I didn't mean that. I like your singing. Obviously, we've talked about it before, that Stepan becomes, you know, has the full no-trade clause for the next two seasons starting on July 1st. And then 2 years after that, he has the a modified no-trade that kicks in. That doesn't answer your question, but it does present the fact that if the Rangers do it, they have a window to do it, and that window is now. It has to happen now. I think it's very interesting that, you know, that his name is involved. That means either A, teams are calling, or which is more likely, or B, you know, that Gorton has kind of put it out there that he would move Stepan for the right price. And I think that's the key term here, is the right price. I'm led to believe by what we've seen of the trade market and the guys who are out there, and frankly, with all the chaos of expansion in Vegas, that there will be a package out there that's good enough, either in everyone's eyes or at least in the Rangers front office eyes, to pry a player like Stepan away. Zibanejad is an unrestricted free agent, and he clearly made a very big impression with the team, you know, and that trade worked out brilliantly for the Rangers, even with Zibanejad's injury. You know, there's Kevin Hayes, who had a down year, but, you know, imagining Kevin Hayes as your second line center is not exactly a nightmare. And, you know, asking Lindbergh or someone else to move up to, you know, the third line is also not a bad deal. The real question is, what the hell will the Rangers be after? And most people seem to think that the Rangers would be going after, you know, a defenseman, specifically a right side defenseman, especially someone who can come in to, you know, play the role that Girardi did, but play it better. But there's also the whole issue of, well, what the hell happens with the Rangers offense? Because Stepan, for all of his warts and all the criticism about him, you know, he led the team in shots last season and power play points. He was third on the team in points. He was and is a huge part of the team, and clearly Vigneault trusts him, and frankly he leaned on him until Stepan wore down in the playoffs. I think that was kind of one of the reasons why Stepan had kind of a rocky playoff. But I'm leaning towards thinking it will happen. I'm not like convinced it'll happen, but the fact that the Rangers did make that move with Girardi, and the fact that there are guys out there on the market who are, you know, it's a lot of teams are moving a lot of pieces trying to be, because everyone has to get compliant for the expansion draft. And on top of that, there's plenty of teams who would look at a player like Stepan, who is a lock for 55 points every season, plays a two-way game, is on the right side of 30, and is cap controlled, and they're going to be interested because, you know, he's 26. I mean, he has the cap hit of $6.5 million for the next four seasons, but there's not a lot of centers like Stepan who are just out there and up for grabs. And frankly, I think the Rangers can do better. I think I've made it clear that I'm kind of in the camp of being underwhelmed by Stepan, but I certainly am not like the sort of person who says the Rangers should move him no matter what. I think it might have been the TSN piece that said the Rangers might expose him in the expansion draft, which I found
insane.
Very, very hard to believe. Yeah,
insane.
It's
in the membrane.
It's losing him for nothing just to get that, you know, the 6.5 in cap space is crazy to me, just because Stepan is worth something to a lot of teams, including the Rangers. If the Rangers are, you know, quote unquote stuck with him, there's a lot worse fates to have. He's a very, very, very serviceable and good top six center. And we've gone through the reasons why many times, so I won't bore everyone by doing it again. But I do think he gets moved. I don't think I would have said that a week ago, though. What do you think, Joe?
I agree. And here's my tinfoil hat idea craziness behind this. The New York Rangers, as you well know, are very particular about the news that they do and do not allow to leak out of the organization. I think you'd be fair to make the argument that they are the most tight-lipped organization in the NHL. So normally news comes out, they break their own trade news. They break their own, really, signings. Like, nobody knew Pumple was coming until it happened. Nobody knew the Hagelin stuff was going on until it was broke on the trade floor by other reporters. And here's why I think the Bob McKenzie stuff is important. Because the Rangers are so tight-lipped and because their beat reporters maybe aren't as interested in getting these scoops, when a guy hears his name like that, when McKenzie hears Stepan's name thrown around in quote-unquote multiple places, that means Bob McKenzie is hearing it not from the Rangers, but from other organizations and from other sources. And if Stepan's name is being shopped to 2, 3, or 4 teams and it gets back to McKenzie, that's a hell of a lot of smoke for there to be no fire. So,
yeah,
I think Derek Stepan is a first-line center. I know that term makes people pee their pants, but I think he's a first-line center. I think Derek Stepan is a very good hockey player. I think the Rangers will miss him terribly. I really do think they will miss him terribly. But I also think that they're in a prime opportunity to trade a year or two too early on Stepan than a year or two too late, and akin to the Derek Brassard move that made the Rangers unequivocally, undebatably better, younger. Zibanejad has even more potential than we thought he did, maybe, with some of the way before his injury, at least. I think that opportunity is out there for the New York Rangers, and Stepan poses the key to get into that room. So the question becomes, what do you need to fix? Can you get a guy like Trouba for Stepan? Can you get another younger Galchenyuk for Stepan? What's the deal? And there seems to be a lot of smoke around Galchenyuk too, because he was supposed to be traded for quote unquote supposed to be traded for Drouin. Drouin got traded for a top prospect and some picks. Now a lot of people think that that's just setting the tone for Galchenyuk to get traded. There's a lot here. There really is a lot here for the Rangers to do something. And can they fix the defense without having to trade for anyone? Yes, they can, Shattenkirk. But to Beth's point, you get a guy like Trouba and you sign him to an 8-year deal, he's 31 at the end of it. He's 23 right now. You sign a guy like Shattenkirk for that type of a deal, he's 36 at the end of it. There's a big difference there. So do you keep Smith around for 4 years? Do you trade for a guy like Trouba? Do you sign a guy like Shattenkirk? I don't think any of these answers are particularly wrong. I think some of them might be better than others, but we're just guessing. So, I don't know. But I really do think you need to use the Patriot mindset of trade a year too early before a year too late. And they did it with Brassard, and maybe Gordon is going to do it with Stepan. Beth, you have not spoken in a while. What are your thoughts on this?
I don't know. It's so strange because it seemed like the news of a possible Stepan train like grew out of fan discontent after the playoffs in a strange way. You know, everyone was lamenting his performance, and then all of a sudden we're talking about him as a trade possibility, which we hadn't really considered before. And I think I've gotten used to the idea. And you know, if we're in the realm now where we do the organization does.
Oh boy.
Smart things. I am totally for this. But if we're in the realm where we do strange temporary things and throw away money and talent, then I'm not. So I realize that's non-committal.
Yeah.
But I've been following this team for a while, and
the most important part.
I know. It's
it really
every
is.
Time.
You know, I think we're going to know if Stepan I think we're going to know a lot of how the team is going to go next. I really do, because if they're starting to make good choices now in terms of assets and, like you said, trading at the right time, rebuilding or building, I mean, really what we're talking about is it is a cup winning defense if someone like Trouba comes in. So, yeah, I mean, there's immense possibility, but I mean, I really have to say I didn't see this coming. But that doesn't mean it's not maybe a good thing to do. I'd be sad to see him go. And also the other thing, let's just say that clearly being on TV for the Rangers on their stupid little TV shorts is the kiss of death, because the only one who's left had Stefan on the mic. We had the boys in blue shirts or whatever it was. They'll all be gone except for Zoo. So whoever the mic gets handed to next, you know, pack your bags because you're on your way out.
Yeah,
also,
I hadn't put that together.
If you're friends with Zuccarello, you're not wanted.
Or if they put you on TV.
Yeah.
There it is. You heard it from Beth first. This
do not take the mic.
Don't take the mic. Don't take the mic. I ho the Jerry-o. Don't take the mic. How was that, guys? Was that good? Is that better?
Nick Holden, take the mic. Take the mic, Nick Holden.
Stall, take the mic. Stall with Stall, the new show about Stall.
It's actually interesting to me. I was thinking today, you know, what we were going to talk about on the podcast, and I think just what is going to happen, for better or for worse, is that Stahl will just be the next scapegoat for a lot of Rangers fans. And, you know, the reason it was Girardi and not Stahl is because the buyout penalty for Girardi, who was, you know, several years older or a couple years older than Stahl, was much less extreme than trying to buy out the Stahl contract, which, just in terms of on paper, the Stahl contract is more demanding because it had, you know, the higher cap hit. It's a strange thing to think that the Rangers have Ryan McDonagh signed for the next 2 years at $4.7 million, but they have Mark Stahl signed for the next 4 years at $5.7 million. It's just evidence of how much, you know, those contracts and a lot of what Sather did, you know, towards the end of his tenure were bad moves. And like you said, Joe, it's encouraging to see Gorton kind of do things that are a lot of people would consider aggressive moves, to really put his own, you know, like touch on the team and how it's built and what it looks like. And that's another reason why I think, you know, we'll see a step on trade, because there is a limited amount of time you can move him. This is an incredibly busy and a lot of names floating around for players that can be traded. You know, Matt Duchene, Landeskog. You know, there's a lot of guys out there who can be moved and are expected to be moved. And it's Gorton has this opportunity, and like you said, he's starting to do it. I'm eager to see what unfolds, and frankly, who the hell is still a Ranger, even come July 1st with the expansion draft and everything. I would like to think that we'll see a team that is just better, because the Girardi buyout gives the team kind of a head start. But, you know, the Rangers are likely going to lose Raanta. They're likely going to lose a very good depth forward in the expansion draft. It's going to be tough. It's going to be a very different team. And frankly, I think not qualifying Peary and Clendenning were mistakes, but there are also mistakes that we kind of knew were coming. And of course, we've yet to talk about the very exciting Matt Pumpel contract.
Well, the Clendenning decision can almost be forgiven if there's a bigger idea here in terms of the defense. And I think it becomes more of a, are there a lot of moving pieces here for Jeff Gordon, or are we in the process of just seeing the Rangers sort of revert back to what they've been in the past? The Girardi move gives me positivity that it's the former rather than the latter. But I also think that we're in a position right now where there's so much uncertainty. I think Adam said it best when he mentioned that the Rangers are on the edge of, they are either going to be Stanley Cup contenders next year, or they're going to take 3 or 4 steps backward. And that's a scary thing, and it's very true. So, yes, Girardi, this move was very, very important for the New York Rangers. But the next moves are just as important, because if you use the cap space on mistakes, you're taking steps backward. That's all you're doing, and that's not good for anybody. What else? Just to Mike's point, the Pumple trade was, or the Pumple signing was, so that the Rangers became expansion compliant. Lindbergh and Fast are restricted free agents who are unsigned. They can be selected by Vegas even if they are not signed. So Vegas would just absorb their rights. Just like technically Brendan Smith could be taken by Vegas and they would just get his exclusive negotiating rights.
For longer than 72 hours, yeah.
Sure. So keep that, those fangs in mind when you're thinking of stuff and doing stuff that you do and think. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, what else there to talk about on this one?
I don't know. I feel like we could, you know, play the what would you want for Stepan game for hours, because it's a tough call, and I also, it's a very tricky thing, I think, because so many Rangers fans have, you know, kind of mixed feelings about Stepan, and you know, there's a lot of outspoken criticism of him that is frequently extinguished by, like, well, just understand that, you know, he's not an elite center, but that doesn't mean he's not a good center. Before the podcast, I quickly just looked at some stats, and I looked at, you know, players who averaged more than 18 minutes a night, or I should say centers who averaged more than 18 minutes a night last season who played 60 games. In other words, you know, an unofficial filter for first-line centers. And Stepan was tied for 21st in points, right there with Kyle Turris and Ryan O'Reilly, and, you know, keeping company with guys like Bergeron and, you know, Krejci and, like, Claude Giroux. So he's clearly not a bad player. That's the thing that's so frustrating. I think there's a lot involved with the, you know, the peers he has in the Metropolitan, but there's also, you know, I think any team would be lucky to have him, especially as a second line center. He would be amazing. As a first line center, you'd be doing very well. The thing I'm most curious about, I think, I know I'm rambling here again, but like the thing I'm most curious about is what other teams think of him and what he would be worth.
There's really no way to describe him, because he should be everything everybody loves as a New York Ranger. He's homegrown. He scored some of the biggest goals this organization has ever seen. His Game 7 winner over Washington in overtime of Game 7 of the second round may go down as one of the best goals in recent memory. But people don't like him, and I don't know why. And it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And I think the fresh start would be a nice thing for him, but I can't imagine he wants to leave New York. And you love the team and you like the players. I like Stephon a lot. I really do. I'd be very sad to see him go. But if he goes and we get – I was very sad to see Brassard go. But I'm thrilled with Zibanejad. So you have to weigh the good and the bad. You really do. And these opportunities to make these types of moves, they don't happen. They don't come around very often.
Yeah, but just like you said before, a Stephon trade is an opportunity to set this team back. Because just because you can trade him doesn't mean that you have to or that you should. I think, you know, there's a lot of names out there, like a Matt Duchene or something, that I think I would jump at, but that's just me. But, you know, there's other guys like, you know, that, you know, I think most of the rumors we've heard, or most of the, I guess, wish lists we've heard, involve specifically defensemen. There hasn't been a lot of talk of Stephon being moved for a forward. It's interesting to think of. I think everyone on the planet knows the Rangers are going to make a play at Shattenkirk, but if they trade, you know, Stephon for, you know, a defenseman of quality, you know, a top, you know, a top pair, you know, like a third guy defenseman, then it makes Shattenkirk, one, less of a priority, and two, probably less important, because you have to also replace Stepan's offense, which is not that easily done. You know, he did play, you know, a crap ton of ice, but he also produced a lot of points, and he led the team in shots for a player who I think a lot of Rangers fans accuse of being too pass first. And, you know, his stats are not that bad. You know, he's never broken that mystical 60-point mark, but that doesn't mean he's not a great player, or at least a very, very good one. I would like to think the Rangers can get something special for him, but that doesn't mean that moving him is the right thing to do. I think the point that Beth said, I know she was breaking up, but it's all about what comes back in a trade for Stephon, because we can love the idea of what we can get, but that doesn't mean we're going to like what we do get.
You don't have to trade him. It has to be the right trade, and that needs to be their mindset. It absolutely
has to be
their mindset.
Yeah, but do you think there's pressure, like, there's pressure within the organization to move him? I'm trying to think back to, like, the Brassard situation and how it developed. There wasn't really a big reason to move Brassard. I think Ottawa had to put together a package that was good enough, you know what I'm saying, to make it happen. And I unless something similar happens where a team just gives the Rangers an offer they can't refuse, I don't think the Rangers should move him.
I agree. Because you don't know. The devil you know is better than the devil you don't, and that's not to insinuate that Stephon is a devil. I think
he's quite 26.
But you have a very good hockey player. And I know I just said trade a year too early and a year too late, but that doesn't mean rush into a bad deal just to get rid of him. It means if the right deal exposes itself to you, it seduces you at the table and says, I think there's something real between us. You go do it. You do the deal. You take the deal home and you do it. So
you make a baby.
You do. You make a child that you are all responsible for by going to patreon.com/blueshirtpanther. So it's a delicate situation to be in. There should be no pressure. I'm sure there is pressure because everything surrounding the Rangers is filled with unneeded pressure and confusion and screaming.
Screaming.
Yeah. Anywho, this was wonderful. This whole thing was wonderful. The show was wonderful.
It was mostly me rambling, but yeah, it was pretty nice.
You both are wonderful.
Our dreams are
even great
coming true.
When Beth was cutting in and out.
Coming true. This is why we need Beth on the podcast with a working microphone, apparently.
It's true.
Because I just heard her, through her, like, breaking up, she's just said our dreams are coming true. Perfect.
And who knows what the rest of that point was.
Yeah. Who knows? Could be.
Oh, that was it.
Oh, just.
That was it. Well, there you go. Hopefully next week I will have my new microphone, by the way. I plan to order it tomorrow.
Oh, which one did we land on?
It's the Snowball from,
the Snowball.
I'm trying to remember. Blue.
Blue.
Is the brand.
It is the Snowball.
Sure, that's not a sex toy?
It looks a little bit, I don't know, it looks a lot more like Sputnik's sex toy.
This is what I'm talking about. Beth's microphone could have cut out at sex toy, and that didn't happen.
No.
It remained clear.
It's like a...
It was as clear as could be.
And knows comic timing.
Sex toy!
And it still remains clear.
Oh, yeah, your kids just heard you yell sex toy. That's great.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, and not for nothing, if they've been eavesdropping, they've heard dream come true and then sex toy. So you go explain that one.
Ooh.
I'll try.
You explain that one.
Beth.
Yeah.
What's the most important thing Joe has to know about raising a daughter?
Oh, good question.
Not about you. See,
that's
other advice for a mother, actually. Mothers are the ones who get all wrapped up in that. Dads are pretty good at it for the most part, as long as you don't do the weird thing about, like, shooting her dates off the front porch or something.
No.
Oh, you say that now.
So it's funny you say that. I was not
dating a bass player named Orion and see how you feel.
I have two younger sisters, and I was not at all a protective older brother.
Not the same thing.
And that's what I'm thinking. I don't know. Maybe I shoot some people. Who knows? I don't know what's going to happen.
I wouldn't recommend it. We need a lot more bail money.
I wouldn't recommend lots of things. Well, then we need Patreon subscribers.
She's going to play hockey, Joe, though, right?
Yeah, maybe the Riveters will draft her.
Well, I was starting a little earlier than that, but yes, sure, that too.
Maybe.
Yeah, she might be young.
We are
a little young.
The athlete in the family is my wife, and she was all lacrosse, so I think we are also a lacrosse family. But those skills, they cross-pollinate.
Those fit together, though, season-wise.
They do.
You can
they
do that.
Do.
I did that.
One of the
similar gloves.
One of the stars of the lacrosse team on Boston College, the women's team that went to the national championship and lost to Maryland, she was a hockey player as well.
Wow.
It happened. That's Kelly fun. Babstock? You all know Kelly Babstock?
Yep.
Yeah, Kelly Babstock's amazing.
I want to play lacrosse with her. She played on
lacrosse.
She's
a Connecticut whale.
So I know Kelly. She's good people. And she has no regard for her own safety when she's playing any type of sport. I called her the wild card in lacrosse because she would dive and just beat the shit out of people. It was incredible. I assume she plays hockey the same way.
She's...
Yeah, regard for your own safety when you're playing.
One of the best Canadian forwards who's not on their on the Canadian national team, in my opinion. She's unreal.
Unreal. She broke all kinds of records at Quinnipiac. It was crazy. And then she went and played lacrosse and was one of the best players on the lacrosse team. So there you go. Her brothers are like box lacrosse superstars in Canada.
Wow.
No.
You ever see
lacrosse than it is in the States.
That's on where the goalies look like hockey goalies and there's tons of fights and everybody like stands on the bench. You ever see those box lacrosse games?
No.
You've never seen them? John Tavares' brother or a cousin or uncle or something was like the leading goal scorer ever. Remember all that? So imagine
now that you say that vaguely.
It's played on a hockey rink that they turf over and the net is like maybe a quarter of the size of the net in hockey. and the goalies have on full-fledged hockey goalie pads.
Well,
so think about
scored?
That. There's a million goals. There's an friggin' fathomable amount of goals. But there really aren't line changes. The bench has two doors that are always open, so when you're done, you go into the bench, and then it's just a line. It's like a conveyor belt, and you just churn yourself back out onto the field. But they are box lacrosse superstars. Either one of her brothers or two of them. I don't know, but there you go. There's some lacrosse for you.
Joe.
Mike.
Ice cream or cake?
Oh, God. Oh, wait a minute. I thought the question was something else. I'm sorry. Ice cream or cake? Ice cream.
What did
I thought
you
it was,
what?
I thought it was pie or cake.
Nope.
No. I like how a four-word question really flummoxed you. That's very sweet.
Yes, ice cream
Beth,
by a mile.
Ice cream or cake?
Cake!
Ah.
Michael?
Tell me I'm wrong again. I will mess you up. Chocolate cake
I definitely
is the best
do ice cream.
World, and that's all.
Of course you do, because ice cream is the right answer. Now, here's the more important question. Pie or cake?
Cake. It's not even close.
You are so friggin' wrong.
Pie.
I think we've talked about this before.
My daughter
cake
and I
segregates
went to
its flavors.
Pie for pie yesterday.
I appreciate pie.
We bought
it's
pie.
Just not my jam.
And it was great. I had pie at my friend's wedding. Pie.
Blueberry crumb cake? Are you kidding me? Are you insane?
What?
You're saying no to blueberry crumb?
What about
pie.
Ice cream cake? That's where I want to be.
Sure, I like
pie.
Ice cream
with the
cake,
crunchies
but I still
in
prefer
it.
Pie.
Salted caramel apple pie.
Oh, God.
I would imagine it depends a lot on what time of day it is for me and what
apple
the temperature
crisp,
outside
Michael?
Is like.
An apple crisp?
Don't yell at me.
Strawberry
I'm your daughter
crisp.
Now.
Blueberry crisp? Peach cobbler? Come on.
You can have the ice cream on the pie. It's called the a la modeness. Yes, you can do that.
But that's just cheating.
Oh, my God. You are such a goody-two-shoes.
Wait,
who's
right,
telling
teacher?
You, the pie teacher?
Maybe after they teach me what pie is, yeah.
And to all whom right. are they going to tell them to?
That was a math joke
police.
For all the idiots out there.
The pie police, they are coming pie. For Mike.
Pie, pie, pie.
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 Pie, 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 pie.
Which ranger could eat the most pie in one sitting?
Ryder.
A's before he lost the 20 pounds.
I don't even know who I would pick. I thought I was going to have someone.
Well, you asked the question, so you should have had someone.
Well, I know. Well, I'm trying to be Captain Creative here. It doesn't mean I always can think three steps ahead. I would have said Merrick Malik back in the day.
Who was the...
Or Darren Langdon.
Wasn't there a ranger who was admonished for being fat? I can't remember.
I don't remember.
I'm going to say Bobby Holik. I feel like he could eat a shitload of cake. I don't know. It's just a feeling. He's just sitting there with his $9 million a year contract just throwing cake down his throat. I could see that. I don't know why that's funny, Michael.
Sounds like
you said it. A shitload of cake. I just imagine, like, in my head, like, yeah, Bobby Holik kind of has, you know, really round cheeks. And he has kind of a vacant expression. And so I just imagined you standing next to him and saying, I bet you can eat a shitload of cake.
Yeah, he might be eating cake right now while he listens to this.
With a halo of, like, raspberries around his mouth.
Yes.
Oh, my God. That's glorious.
There you go. There it is. There it is. All right.
You know what? I'll go
Twitter.com.
I'll go with Brady Shea.
Okay, yeah,
he's a big boy.
Are you kidding me? Shea is like he's blade thin.
Yeah.
No, but he's tall.
Ballast.
And he's
should
he's
eat
a young,
pie.
Tall doesn't mean
he's a
tall
young growing
stomach.
Man.
Well, all right, that point I'll give you. That he's like in puberty and he needs all the food he could get into his gullet. But even so, I don't think so. You know who could eat the most cake in the who could eat the most cake in NHL history?
NHL
Any
history.
Player. The answer is easy. Come on.
What, Brodeur?
Yeah. Fatso.
It's very rude to say, but yeah.
He would be throwing
a
shitload of cake.
Had you guys completely forgotten Jarrett Stoll was a Ranger?
Well, yeah, until you said something.
Yeah. Earlier today,
I was looking for Fat Rangers, and I ended up on this training, Secrets of the New York Rangers, and it's from last March, and every single Ranger, if Klein leaves, is gone. It's Stahl, Klein, Edom, and Stahlberg.
Were the
fit
Rangers?
No, we're fit Rangers, but for some reason that came up when I Googled Fat
like
Rangers.
Physical fitness?
Yeah. Training Secrets of the New York Rangers, Men's Fitness.
I didn't consider Stahlberg. He was a good skater for. I don't know. I think I'm always. Just my default answer for that is Kreider because of that, him jumping out of the pool video.
Yeah.
Jumping out of
also,
the pool.
According to Grabner, Kreider spends the most time in the gym, so.
Yeah, Grabner's a.
Yeah.
Grabner's
Twitter is very disturbing.
He's definitely. He did answer me on Twitter, though.
You did. And again, the team seems to have no idea he's doing this, which amuses me to no end.
They have to know.
Yeah.
They know they can't stop it.
Someone asked him today, I think, who's the hottest
Nichols
Ranger.
They would have told him to stop.
Who's the hottest, like, most attractive? Someone.
Yeah, and his answer was, I don't know, ask your mom, or something like that.
Woo!
It was very salty.
Woo! Michael Grabner throwing high heat. Good for him.
Mind you,
and
this is clearly to a Rangers fan.
Yes, that makes it so much better that he just doesn't care.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I have newfound respect for him.
Said that the biggest dork on the team is without a doubt Holden. Someone asked him
yeah,
who's
well,
the biggest dork,
no
and
way.
He responded in all caps, Holden, which fits like a glove, I have to say.
So some of these answers are amazing. What's your most vivid memory of the Islanders-Penguins brawl game in 2011? I was there as a Rangers fan, ironically. Grabner's answer is, I got out alive. Most attractive guys on the team, ask your mom. To a female Rangers fan, no less. It wasn't even like it was a male Ranger fan who was taunting him.
That
How does it feel to
sassy.
Be slower than Larkin and McDavid? I don't have feelings.
That's great. Oh, my God.
Some of these are... What's your favorite
part about being
a Ranger? Being a Ranger is his answer.
Mm-hmm.
He's just a jerk. God bless him.
Do you ever get caught up in hockey rumors, or do you stay away from that stuff? He said, there are hockey rumors, ? Someone said, what are those? And he says, I will Google and see what I can find. Apparently someone has...
How many...
Go ahead.
How many calories do you eat in a day? I eat when I am hungry, really.
Oh, God. What is your
like,
favorite Lululemon store in the city? Ask Kevin Hayes.
That's funny.
And then here's mine, when I sent him the thing that just said, hey, this amusement park has terrifying rides for children. He said it's supposed to be scary, like ghosts and stuff for the kids.
Oh, Grabner, do you think he's still going to be a Ranger come expansion draft?
I do. This one's interesting. What about the back nine? And he said they have 18 holes. Oh, I get it. It's a golf joke. Yeah. He's saying he never got past the front nine. Okay. Ask Your Mom is probably the greatest answer of all time, though. Props, Grass, props. blogtalkradio.com/blueshirtbanter, blueshirtbanter.com on its own, patreon.com/blueshirtbanter,
twitter.com/blueshirtbanter, twitter.com/digdpsb,
twitter.com/BethMacklin. The Ice Garden does women's hockey stuff for us as well. Ooh, you get to see who we take in the SB Nation mock draft on Sunday. So be around for that. Yeah. All right. Goodbye, all of you.
Goodbye.
Have a great night.
All your dreams will come true.
All your dreams will come true.